This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Just a quick vote around the room. We do not think the Browns are going to draft a quarterback at two, right? Shedeur Sanders seems to be off the table at this point, right? Are we all on the same?
From the general rumblings that you hear from all of the national folks, I would think that is correct. They will not be taking a quarterback with the second pick in the draft. I do expect them to take a quarterback by the time they're out of the second round. And I know they have the 33rd pick. I'm giving them some leeway there.
I won't be surprised if they bounce back into the first round. I think that they'll figure out some way to find a late first round pick. That's what I'm saying. Hang tight. Don't walk away from the draft. Don't walk away from the draft
after the second pick.
Yeah,
because there's going to be buzz stuff going to be happening.
I mean, there is.
Do you think they'll pick at 33? That is going to be,
you know, listening to Andrew Berry last week, I would say yes, but I just don't think so. I think if they really want to get a quarterback, they're going to have to jump back in the first round, whether they think they're first round worthy or not. It does smell like Shedeur Sanders ends up in Pittsburgh at 21. My question is the Browns try to bounce back in and try to hop in front of Pittsburgh if they want Shedeur Sanders back at that point? I mean, who knows? You know, we hear stories all the time about everything, you know, whether it's, you know, you know, Will Howard, who obviously I would like to see, but I would never draft him, you know, in the first two rounds. And there's a lot of these quarterbacks I wouldn't draft within the first two rounds. It's not just Will Howard. I think Will Howard's a winner. I think he's going to be a winner no matter where he goes.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if you believe that or not. But
Will.
All right, Why Am I Smarter? Who's it brought to us by in the 10 o'clock hour? Thank you.
OTAs, baby.
You know,
they're underway.
Whether it's Jackson Dart or it's Jalen Milroe or whoever, somebody decides, hey, I heard the Browns were hot on so-and-so, right? I mean, you can read that, you can think that, and all someone has to do is put it on the internet, and we all believe it's true. Oh, did you hear what so-and-so say? Oh, I can't believe they're doing that. Oh, I don't know. I say trust your eyes before you start, you know. If you believe something to be true, then why wouldn't you stick to it and have passion about it? I just... You know how I feel about the media on this stuff right now, and we are the media, and I get it. I just, knowing the media, like, I don't trust it. I don't know. Who knows? Who knows who's talking to a general manager and says, hey, I mean, these are the same general managers that are looking for jobs and are like, hey, can you put me in the mix when you write the story about who's up for this job? It'd be great. You know, all of a sudden I can see my name's back in there, and, you know, then the front office is thinking, well, why haven't we talked to so-and-so? So-and-so thinks he'd be great for this job. So I think that, you know, sometimes we see stuff based on relationships with the media and how people can be elevated or, I don't want to say demoted, because, Jeff, it is interesting to look at these mock drafts, and I know we're going to get back to who we think is going to start week one for the Browns here in a second, but I mean, to see Shedeur Sanders at 21 on all these CBS mock drafts is... Like, they're all saying Shador goes at 21.
Well, who's Pittsburgh's quarterback right now?
I take it back.
Mason Rudolph.
Not all. I will say that Kyle Stackpole and Garrett Podell from CBS are not saying that, but the other, I think the other five guys are.
Well, and you know what that means, Andy?
Three or four.
You know what that means? Nothing.
Nothing.
Means nothing.
It means clicks for these guys. I don't even think, does Pete Prisco even have Shador Sanders going in the first round? Yeah, he's got him going to the Saints at 9. That makes sense. Like that, to me, that seems the most logical, doesn't it? That he goes to the Saints at 9?
I don't know. Do the Saints like him? That's, who knows?
Well, from everything that I'm reading, they really like him.
See, that it's people in the media writing stuff, Andy. Mm-hmm. Nobody's giving out any really good information, and nor should they. I mean, that's the whole idea of the draft. So is Shador Sanders in line for Pittsburgh? I don't know. I'm just wondering who's in line for the Browns and who's starting week one.
All right, so who is starting week one? Let's go back to this subject.
Who do I want to see starting week one for the Browns?
No. Who do you think is going? I don't care who you want. Who is going to be? Does that make sense? How I'm asking it differently?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. The pride of Pitt, Kenny Pickett, will be the starter week one for the Browns.
Who do you want to be?
The pride of Pitt, Kenny Pickett, starter week one for the Browns. Why? Because he's a young guy who has actually started in the league, and I am hoping that he ends up becoming this year's Sam Darnold, this year's Baker Mayfield, this year's Rich Gannon from many years ago, a guy who kind of got knocked around a little bit in the league, not for an extensive period of time, and then, you know, got better, figured it out, better coaching, better system. Remember, his offensive coordinator was so bad in Pittsburgh that he got fired. And he was in a bad system in Pittsburgh. That didn't help him at all. And my hope is he finds himself here, and the Browns actually have a young quarterback with real upside who ends up being their starting quarterback. And if that means whoever they draft, and they will draft somebody at some point, if that person sits for a year or two or three, fine. Because I think Pickett gives you the best opportunity right now. You know, like I really like Jackson Dart. I really like the potential of Jalen Milroe.
Oh, Jackson Dart.
I didn't like gush.
You did earlier.
And
not today.
So those two guys, Andy's looking for a drop.
I want the drop now. Maybe, I'm so tired of yours. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe those
You're
guys.
So forced. That was forced.
It really was. Maybe those two guys.
Just because I'm related to the Pillsbury Doughboy means that it sounds forced.
That's funny.
It's hereditary.
That was actually funny.
Thank you.
Maybe those two guys become somebody long term. And so, but I would love to see Pickett take this job and run. I don't want Flacco starting week one. Why? Because it would mean that Kenny Pickett didn't show you anything. And it would also mean that the guy they draft at some point isn't ready to go. And it means, all right, we're going to roll out a 40-year-old quarterback and see what Joe has left, and hopefully he can do it again. And if he happens to win 4 out of 5 games all season long, oh, my God, what a story that would be. But that's why I would want Pickett. I think he potentially is the solution, to the quarterback issue.
I'm going to come back on what you just said. I'm just curious what Dan's thoughts are on this, too. Dan, who is the starting quarterback week one, not according to you, but according to what you think the team will do?
Joe Flacco.
And who will be the, and who do you want to be the starting quarterback?
Kenny Pickett.
All right. You say that. Jeff says that. And I am like 100% convinced. I think Kenny Pickett's going to be starting quarterback week one, too. As of today, I think both of you guys are right. I think the argument that Jeff laid out was perfect. And I just think that he's still young enough that they feel like I feel that Sam Darnold kind of vibe on this thing.
I think they want a shot at that, Andy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's not about JJ McCarthy, you know, and where he is or what the Browns could do next year in the draft at quarterback.
Andy, if you stumble into Kenny Pickett and he's actually more than competent, what a win for the organization. I mean, you gave up DTR, who you weren't, you know, in a late-round pick. For a guy who was a first-round pick, yes, in a bad draft for quarterbacks, but he was still a first-round pick. And he's had some level of success in the NFL. And if Kevin Stefanski can coach him up, if Tommy Rees can coach him up, and he becomes a competent NFL quarterback, you might have a solution to your situation. And that's the thing. Because I don't think they're drafting a quarterback at two. I think Pickett is the clear guy that you think, oh, please be the solution to this. At least for a year. And then they can get back into it next year if they decide they want to do something else.
Are you comfortable finding a quarterback for a year? I think that this is our biggest problem. I feel like when they go into the draft, they always feel like we've got to draft this. If they're looking for a quarterback, and it's been a while since we've had this first-round pick, 3 years, that they try to force the round peg into the square hole to try to get that starting quarterback. Even Baker Mayfield, who I liked, it felt like in the beginning they were forcing it, and then they were kind of floating, and then they were like, we can do better, and then we can do better said, I don't think I want to come here, and they're like, let's go back to floating, and floating said, see you later. And so then they ended up stuck coming up with the most gargantuan contract with a swing and a miss that you will ever see. Yeah. So I also feel kind of the same way. I just don't know. If you walk into this year and you're saying Kenny Pickett, where are we just dipping our toe into the water? Is that what we're doing? We're dipping our toe into the water, and we're hoping, right, that we can swim. But there's no guarantee that Michael Phelps is there.
And here's the thing about Kenny Pickett. If Andy, he goes into OTA, goes into training camp, does the whole thing, goes through the exhibition season, and he doesn't look good, you can play Joe Flacco.
Right.
You can play Joe. The question is, does Joe have anything left? And folks here in Cleveland, rightfully so, focus on the 5 games that he started for the Browns and was such fun and was very effective, yet still showed Flacco tendencies. Everywhere else he's been since Baltimore, it hasn't worked.
I'm going to give you the scenario I don't want to see. I'll tell you that when we come back here in a second. Also, your thoughts, who should be starting week one as we sit here 2 days before the draft? Who should be starting a quarterback for the Browns as we start OTAs today, too? So the boys are in town. 216-474-0092, Mary Kay Cabot.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
At 11. The NHL playoffs. Dude, I love hockey, but you got to be kidding me. Look at what's going on in the city right now. You got Guardians, Yankees.
Yeah, stuff cooking.
You got Cavs and Heat in the playoffs. You got the draft coming up on Thursday. You've got Journey playing right before for, like, how long is that set supposed to be? It's supposed to be a pretty long set. So, I'd love to talk hockey with you, but it just isn't happening today, my friends. And you know I love the game. 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092. Jeff and I were talking a little bit about, who should be the starting quarterback, and unanimous among the three of us, with Dan included, that we all think that Kenny Pickett's going to be the starting quarterback when the season starts. Do you disagree or do you agree? 216-474-0092. I don't think there's anybody right now that thinks the Browns are drafting a quarterback at two. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is suddenly going to hear his name called when the Browns are on the clock at number two. Not at all.
It doesn't seem that way, does it, Andy?
Mm-mm.
No. Mm-mm. Now, could you trade back up in the first round and get him? Yeah, maybe. Could Jalen Milroe be their guy? Yeah, maybe. Could Jackson Dart be their guy? Yeah, maybe. If they came out of this draft with somebody at two or right around there, and Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe, I'd be quite pleased.
So, you know, we went to break, and I was telling you the one scenario I don't want to see. I really just, can we please not walk down this road, okay? Especially with, and maybe this is where Joe Flacco would be a good deflection shield for what's going on. Let's just say they do jump back into the first round and grab a quarterback. Let's just throw out a name, Jalen Milroe. Let's just throw him out there, okay? Let's say they decide to jump back in, they get Milroe in the first round, or they take him at 33. Maybe he's sitting there at 33 and they take him.
Yep.
Here's what I don't want to hear. If you get mediocre play out of Kenny Pickett, I just don't need to hear the chance for Milroe or whoever the guy they draft, the first quarterback they draft. I don't want to go through this Brian Hoyer thing again.
We want to see a guy sitting there, don't we?
But it's not that
if
I want
to take
him,
a guy, you want to just see him get his opportunity to figure things out and don't rush him onto the field.
Yes.
We don't want Deshaun Kaiser.
Is that why Joe Flacco's here? That's another question. So that they've got this layer of protection for somebody they draft, should they not draft them at number two.
Yeah.
I just thought it was, I mean, it was ridiculous. It was absolutely, when Hoyer was here, I mean, he was having a good season. Does anyone remember the Thursday night game, Pay the Man? And we just had so many voices in this town. They're like, you got to get, do I even need to say his name? Money? Do I need to bring it up? Why are we getting? No, I don't even want to go down that road. I don't need to talk about Johnny Football. It was about the relevancy of Manziel more than it was about the ability to play.
That scares me.
And the horror stories that we heard afterwards about, you know, just about what he didn't do to prepare. And it was Shanahan was still here too, right? And you wonder why Kyle Shanahan wanted out. Please, can we never, ever, can we learn from one thing that's happened? Please don't do that. Please don't draft a quarterback and be in a big hurry. If you're not taking him at number two, if you're taking him at number two, I get it. I understand that there is a sense of urgency that you want to get him on the field. I get it. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I understand it. But if you're not drafting a quarterback in the top 10 of this draft, then please do not put the pressure on that quarterback to not have the ability to grow, understand the NFL, understand the playbook, understand what Kevin's trying to do, you know, try to understand what Tommy Rees is trying to do. Funny that, you know, we bring up Milroe. He's the one guy that probably would know what Tommy Rees is trying to do from day one. So, and to me, I think that might actually be an advantage if that's the guy they want. I you know, if you've got an offensive coordinator that's willing to stand on his head and say, hey, we need to come back up and get him, or we need to get him now before someone else does,
mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because obviously
they really like the guy. They've scouted him. They think he's the guy. Go get him. That's okay.
It's even more than scouting. I mean, they've lived with him if it's Tommy Rees, right?
If it's Jalen Milroe, Tommy Rees was his OC.
Right.
So they know.
So
man, that guy's got a ton of ability. Ton of ability. They'd have to be convinced that they can teach him to throw an accurate pass. You know, it smells a lot like what Lamar Jackson had coming out of college.
Hmm.
You know, because Lamar was not considered a great passer coming out of college, but a great runner. And look what he's become.
Jeffrey's in Cleveland. Hey, Jeffrey, how are you?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah, I think it's over for Shadur in Cleveland. 99%, I think his legacy at Cleveland didn't last that long because he might be the best quarterback in the draft, but he's not the best football player. Travis Hunter, I think they already picked Travis Hunter.
So you got it done. I think there's a lot of people that would agree with you. I almost feel like, Jeffrey, thank you for the phone call, that unless they decide to trade out of that spot, because that is today's story, right? That's the big story on ESPN, saying that the Giants and the Browns are fielding trade calls as we get closer. And they should be. Why would they not?
That's their job. So, yeah.
If somebody came up to you and said, you know what, give us your number two, we'll give you our number one this year, and we'll give you our number one for the next 3 years, why would you not take that?
Yep.
I mean, I hope he's taking phone calls. I hope that's what, and I hope that maybe he said something along the line that makes somebody think the Browns are going to do something when he didn't actually mean to do it. and that he tricks somebody into trying to come up for number two, overpaying, and then the Browns end up with the guy they wanted in the first place. Bobby is in Brunswick. Bobby!
Hey, what's going on?
How are you, man?
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah, you guys requesting, you know, not for rookie quarterbacks to be chanted. Jaden Daniels is heard us on that. That kid came out of nowhere. I mean, he's first-round pick, but I don't think anybody had those expectations for him. We've seen too many rookie quarterbacks, and there's been plenty that have failed, but there's been, you know, a good handful that have really taken their team up to the next level. I don't care who's starting, you know, week one, week two, week three. First time that quarterback throws two picks in a game, you're going to want you're going to hear the fans chant for, you know, Milrow, Howard, whoever it may be. But Jaden Daniels absolutely just blew that out of the water.
If you go back and listen to what I said, though, about that was...
There's a difference, though, too.
If you're drafting a guy at number two, I get it and I understand it because there's a sense of pressure. And that's where Jaden Daniels was picked at number two. So I'm talking about somebody they don't draft. If they're outside of the top 10, can we just chill? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Will Howard, I think, has the most potential. Whenever I hear his name, I've got to tuck it into my waistband. I really just can't wait for him to get in the Browns uniform.
I don't still think it's going to happen. That's the problem.
Andy's crying now.
Thank you, Bobby. Excellent phone call. You are up for caller of the year. Good job.
Oh, Will.
Donovan's in Cleveland. Donovan, who do you think is going to be the starter?
I feel like Joe Flacco has to be the starter. I mean, I don't know why you're paying somebody $4 million with $13 million in incentives to not be the starting quarterback. Plus, Kenny Pickett's a career backup. I feel like it's always been that way.
And really, he wasn't in Pittsburgh.
I mean, he looked like their career backup when he started.
Those fourth quarter comebacks were stirring, weren't they?
Those
game winning drives. You can't call a guy a career backup when he's played 2 years in the NFL. He has an opportunity to try and improve himself, and we'll see if he can. I'm not convinced that he can. We'll find out.
Yeah, I don't. Does $4 million a year really sound like it's that much money for
not
a quarterback?
NFL.
No. JJ McCarthy's never played a snap, and he's making 5.4. I mean, Penix is making 5.7. Like, Zach Wilson's making $6 million. I can go up to Tyrod Taylor is making $6 million a year. Come on, $4 million doesn't seem like much of anything these days in the NFL. Even Mitch Trubisky's making $2.6 million. Mitchell, sorry. Make sure I say that right.
Let's go, Mitch.
What do you make of this taking phone call story? Browns taking phone calls.
Well, they should. I mean, that's their job. Of course they should. If somebody decides they must have Shedeur Sanders and they want to trade up for him and they want to give us their pick, which is a high pick in the first round, and want to give the Browns a second round pick as well, or if somebody really wants to jump up from lower in the draft and give up next year's number one to get the number two, which is what that might take. You get a first rounder this year and next year's number one. That's a different story.
I think it's funny though. Here's the funny part that we're like, oh, give up the number two. And then on Thursday night, after they call a name, now you're associating it with a name rather than a number, rather than sitting here and go, well, we traded Travis Hunter four, right? That's the reality of it. That's what's true. But we don't ever look at it that way. We're like, oh, wow, we gave up the number two and we picked up the number seven. And we also got, you know, in the second round, we got 30, you know, and you're just like, you start playing the number game. That's like sitting and playing blackjack and forgetting, and this is what the casinos want, right? And forgetting that you're actually playing with cash. But instead, they give you chips so it doesn't feel like it's real. And the reality of making any of these trades is you're trading a person after Thursday night. And I think we sit here and we talk about, well, it's the number two for the number. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's not tangible until you put a name. What were you willing, like a year from now, you find yourself saying, what did we trade Travis Hunter for if they go out of number two? What did we trade Abdul Carter for? What did we trade Ashton Jeanty for? Like, we don't think about that. But that is the reality, and we'll find out more on Thursday night what those numbers actually really do mean. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com. Next, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory and that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.